So we're doing the sermon series, Choose Your Own Adventure, where I'm answering your questions. And before I get to the big question, I want to answer one question I got a lot of in response to last week, and I told you I would spend some of this next month answering questions about heaven. But one I got a lot of in response to last week's questions, things like that, is what is it really like, though? Tangibly, like, is it, you know, is it going to be like a care a lot, like in the Care Bears, for the three of you that remember that reference. You know, it's going to be all those clouds and stuff. You know, what is it going to be like? And you know, it says in Scripture in 1 Corinthians 2 that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, just the wonders and the glory that we're going to step into. So, like, just imagine the very best thing in the world that you can imagine, and it may be different, but somehow exceeding that. My wife has spent the last 6 months so excited about this play on Broadway that I couldn't care anything less about. Hamilton. And she went Friday to see it. And I said, "You've been talking about this. You know everything about Hamilton's life now. You know everything about Burr's life. You know everything about the actors and the actresses. She even knows the ensemble people. And she's following the ensemble people on Instagram. Just not the main stars and the tweets and all this stuff. I mean, she has the books, plural. I mean, just amazing stuff. I mean, you know, like we saw Hamilton's grave on Friday. We saw the Dueling Grounds in New Jersey. We went to Jersey. That's how tough. That's how much she was dedicated, right? And so she went to the play on Friday night, and I said, "What was it like?" And she said, "I thought I knew everything about it, you know?" And she didn't say that in arrogance. She just said, "I thought I knew everything about it. I knew I would love it, but I didn't know I was going to love it this much." I mean, she's not very, like, this super emotional person. She was in tears. She said the only bad part was that it ended. That's heaven, but without the end. So when we talk about what is heaven going to be like, picture that best thing in the world, whether it's Hamilton or that warm chocolate chip cookie, or whatever it is. Maybe you picture Care a Lot. Maybe you picture clouds. Maybe you picture angels with harps, or maybe you picture them with electric guitars. Whatever it is, it might be different, but know it's better. But know it's better. So with that said, let me pull up the scripture from John 14. John chapter 14, verse 15. And I invite you to hear this important word for God. "If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments." Let's say a word of prayer. Gracious and wonderful God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. May we hear your words this morning, and may we be obedient to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm sharing this question I got with permission. I only share anything with permission, but I just want to make this very clear. It is a question that's asked me face to face, so I can't read this. But it is a question that they got a text saying that is a question they couldn't ask face to face, but they wanted to ask it and they needed to ask it. And they said, "I've been struggling with infertility. And I want a baby so badly. And now it looks like it just will not happen. Why did God not give me a child?" You know, so it's 4th of July weekend. I want to help you guys out, so I just want to share the answer. I don't know. Well, let's say a word of prayer. No, I'm teasing. That is the truth, though. I really don't know. I really don't know why these things happen. I don't think God is up in heaven. I mean, I know he's not up in heaven, though, wringing his hands and "Won't this make her miserable?" That's not God. That's not God. I want to be very clear about that. That is not God. So when I say I don't know, I know that's not God. I also know that God is not a God that is that's just waiting to serve us, though, either. I mean, I think about some bad things in the world. I mean, I picture, you know, there are people out there that are cold. I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. I did a wedding yesterday, presided over my brother's wedding yesterday, and still cold. Okay, thank you. Yeah, and it just always strikes me as, like, I think when we give our wedding vows, it's one of those days I think we tell the biggest lie of our lives. I really believe that. When we say we're going to love, honor, and respect our future spouse, is that? Do we act like that all the time? So, like I said, we tell, I think, one of the biggest lies of our lives in front of God and friends and family. And so I was telling my brother this. I said, this is my sister-in-law. I don't want you telling a lie in front of God and family and friends. And he said, well, what would be a more authentic, a more honest vows? And I thought about that. I think the most honest vows one can give is a husband says, I do, and the bride says, I'm cold. Because, I mean, just, you know, for the rest, as soon as we got married, that's the only thing I heard out of my wife. For about 19 some years of marriage, my wife says, I'm cold wherever we walk into. If we walked in a furnace, she's gonna say, I'm cold. So I think those are honest vows. But there's some people out there that are cold. There's some people that are without shelter. And we don't know why that is. There's some people out there, and we don't know why they're like that. And where is God in the midst of that? I mean, there are Christians that are cold. There are non-Christians that can be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ that are cold, that are not, be cold. Okay, thank you. That are not cold. I mean, what is going on? It's just amazing, isn't it? It is amazing, and sometimes you wonder, why are there people that are cold? And again, my answer often is that are without shelter, that are without the basics. I don't know. There are some people out there that are so hungry that are yeah, this is a true story, by the way. Sometimes I'm making things up. You might have that 32-ounce Texas steak or something, you know, and you still might walk away like, oh, where's the next meal? You know, I mean, you know, so you wouldn't know, right? But this guy is hungry. Or maybe you do look at him and you think he's hungry. But I mean, like, he can throw down, right? You can eat some food. Absolutely. He is hungry. And he's hungry because he hasn't eaten in 2 minutes. But there are some people out there, though, that haven't eaten in 2 days or much longer. There's people in this world that have never had that have never had a solid meal in their life. I mean, we talk about the freedoms we have in this country. You know, our garbage disposals eat better than 1/3 of the world. Let me say that again. Our garbage disposals eat better than 1/3 of the world. 40% of the world does not have access to clean and fresh water, including many countries in Europe, Central Europe. I'm just throwing this out there, that they don't have access to the same waters we have. I mean, we have freedom and privileges and blessings in this country that many people don't have. And there's people that are hungry, and there's people that are cold, and I don't know why it's like that. Come on up here, yeah, thank you. There's other people that have been the target of oppression, of prejudices. Yeah, be the target. That's fine. That's good. Yeah. Or you can wear khakis and a red shirt. Sorry, bad joke. Actually, I like that one. But the target of oppression, the target of impression, there are people that will stand up and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, and they become the target of the government. And I believe even in this country, when you stand up and you proclaim your faith in Jesus Christ, you become the target. You know, one of the things I've asked you, if you have been here, I haven't asked you, but if you have been here in the last two or three weeks, you have heard me ask this, I've asked a lot of people, I asked everyone, matter of fact, if you could set your phones or your Fitbits or alarms or Rooster, I don't know, whatever you can to 12:30 in the afternoon to just say and recite the verse, Mark 12, verse 30. And some people said, well, what if I'm in a business meeting? What if I'm in the middle of negotiations? What if I'm in the middle of something really important? I said, well, what's more important than sharing your faith and just saying this verse? This, you could say it in your head if you want to. If you just pause for a moment and said this verse, and then you said, why you paused for? I mean, you're saying nothing's more important than Jesus Christ. But when you do that, some people say, I don't want to do that. People at work might think I'm a little bit of a weirdo. I don't want to do that because I may not get that promotion. I may not do that because I might lose that negotiation. I might lose that contract, whatever it is. And when you stand up for Jesus Christ, you become that target. And there's people in this world that is being systematically persecuted. And I don't know why they're a target sometimes. There's some people that are in pain. Maybe it's a physical pain. Maybe it's emotional pain. Maybe there's a scar that was there by no fault of their own. And we wonder why God, why did this happen? Why can't I get this? I want this so badly. I want to be free from pain or hurt or free to have a child, whatever that might be. And I can say, I don't know. I don't know why there are people out there that are cold, that are hungry, that are the target of injustice, that have this very real pain in their life. I don't know. But I do know I have an extra coat at home. There's a passage in James. It says, if you have an extra coat, get away. I mean, do you walk around, even during the coldest part of winter, with two coats on? My wife doesn't even do that. And she's cold everywhere. I know I have two coats at home. And if I have two coats at home, do you have two coats at home? Maybe three coats at home. And so when there's cold people in the world, is it, when there's people that are without, is it because God isn't faithful? Or because a church isn't faithful? Because if I have an extra coat, he's not standing up here. He doesn't have that need anymore. If I have something extra and I'm hoarding it for myself so it can hang up in my closet where no one's going to see it. I mean, is this God's fault or is it our fault? Same thing with hungry. Like I get it. There's nothing I can do to feed all the young people in the world. But I know that there's food in my pantry at the end of the day. Like rarely. Like I just got back from vacation. I'm going on another small vacation on Tuesday. So there's not a lot of food in our house. Like for lunch today, I think I might have a Pop-Tart sandwich. But there's still food in my pantry though. There's still food that I can share. And I'm telling you, when you're generous with people, when you're generous with stuff, I mean, there's just what a blessing it can be. I met someone, Tuesday. They didn't have groceries. I came in with just a bag full of stuff for my groceries. Imagine if I gave you that $10 million, how excited you might be. That's how excited they were for some SpaghettiOs. I included a can opener. They were that excited about a bag full of SpaghettiOs that they were that excited for food because I had some SpaghettiOs, I had some macaroni and cheese, you know, just all the healthy stuff I like to eat in my pantry, and we were able to be that blessing to a person. So I know that makes a difference. I know he's not standing up here. Not because God isn't faithful, but because the church isn't faithful. So if we just increased our faithfulness, if I was able to help give what I have, and you're right, there's people out there that are being targets, and maybe I alone don't have the power. Maybe I alone don't have the strength to stand with the Coptic Christians in the Sinai Peninsula in Egypt. And really throughout Egypt. Maybe I don't have the power to stand with those victims of ISIS terror attacks around the world, most recently in Bangladesh. And I fear there might have been many more that have been unreported since then. Maybe smaller scales in Iraq, in Syria. That there are people that are dying because they can't quote the Quran. Maybe we should pray and stand with them in prayer. Maybe they become less of a target if we stand with them, tall and proud of who we are in Christ Jesus. What if he stopped everything at 12:30? Just for 15, 20 seconds, he read that verse. And we paused with him together, knowing that while he was doing that at 12:30, you were doing it at 12:30, and you were doing it at 12:30, and you were doing it at 12:30, and I was doing it at 12:30. We were all doing it together at 12:30, and together we became the target. And the target somehow becomes a little bit less conspicuous when we all stand tall in our faith for Christ Jesus. And then there's this pain, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's a scar, maybe it's I don't know. Again is my answer. I truly don't know why there's hurt like that. I truly don't know why you can't have a child. Well, I know why you can't have a child. I mean, but I don't know these things. I truly don't know these things. But if we look closely at the scripture, I think it reveals something about the God that we say we do worship. I fear sometimes for big things like healing, and children or whatever it is, we're asking God for something and he's not giving it to us. So often we have this doubt. Is God real? And basically what we're saying, and we don't like to say it like this, but you're not giving me what I want, so are you real? If you go back to mythological times and ancient Greece and these ancient pagan gods and you'd see people that would do the right thing, that way they could get the favor of these mythical gods. Now we say we've outgrown that. We're so much beyond that, but I'm not so sure if we're having doubt that God is real because he's not giving us what we want. I mean, I think there's a lot of Christians, and I'm sorry for doing this on a July 4th weekend, because I think this is a very real problem in the church today, that we are worshiping a God that's a false God. I mean, this God that's there to serve us, I think we might as well be an atheist. I think atheists might even be more honest than those Christians that expect God to serve them. God is not here to serve us. God is not this genie in the bottle where we rub him the right way and our wish is his command, even if it's legitimate, very real, if it's very real hurts and pains, very real senses of loss. I think that's a false God we're worshiping. We're called, and the scripture says in John, if you really love God, don't expect God to serve you, but we're called to serve God. Well, how are we called to serve God? By being there for those that are hungry. By being there for those that are cold, for being and standing with those that are target, that we might be a target ourselves, that we might stand for Christ Jesus, that we might stand with those that are going through difficult times. So maybe they're going through a difficult time. Maybe they're going through some very difficult things. But they don't need to stand alone. Not if they have the church. Does that make everything right? Absolutely not, but it makes things better. All through Christ Jesus. And what I've found in my life is when I'm clothing the naked, when I'm feeding the hungry, when I'm standing tall in Christ Jesus, and I'm standing with my brother, my sister in Christ, I find the things that I'm lacking somehow disappear. Either because God is providing them or because it doesn't seem to matter that I don't have an extra pea coat to go with my dress suit because I gave it away. Because I don't have my SpaghettiOs and macaroni and cheese that I wanted so bad. Somehow that doesn't seem to matter so much. That when I stand tall with Christ Jesus, somehow knowing that others are standing with me, the target doesn't seem quite as big on me. And when I'm standing with those in need, I find myself never lonely either. Last night, I got home I was coming back from New York, and I was going to grab a bite to eat. Real healthy place, Frosty, Wendy's. Love to hit the fries and the Frosty. I'm that guy. Anyway, so I was going to Wendy's, and it's just so late. I know I shouldn't have done it, right? But I mean, I was a little hungry, and I didn't want to cook anything because that would have took about like 5 whole minutes of my time. So just so much easier to drive 10 minutes to Wendy's, 10 minutes back, or, you know, all that. And you know how you do that, like that 10-minute drive, but then there's traffic lights, and you miss every single one? I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. And this morning, I had a meeting this morning before worship, and I was meeting with this person. I was running a little bit late this morning. And I made every single light on the way to worship today. Even that one by McDonald's, which, a small miracle is all I'm saying. The left-hand turn light. I didn't go straight through the light. The left-hand turn light, I didn't stop, pause, or anything. I'm telling you, I was going where God wanted me to today. Last night, not so much. So out of God's grace, out of his love, I think he caused some red lights last night. Because I was going where he didn't want me to go. Even though I wanted to go there. This morning, I was going where God wanted me to go. Nothing but green lights. So when I say, if you love God, keep his commandments, what I'm saying is that if you want some more green lights in your life, just go to the place that God wants you to go. And it may not be these amazing places, but there might be a place that you can help make more amazing by standing firm and standing with others. I don't know. So many things. That's the honest truth. But I do know that we, as a church collectively around the world, are many ways going to be held accountable for the hunger, for those that are going without, for those that are standing alone. We're going to be held accountable for that. And I pray that that may never happen again in this congregation. So this morning, I invite you to join me in providing shelter. Join me in providing food. Join me in standing with Christ Jesus, wherever it might be, and worship a true God. Not one that serves us, but one that we are called to serve. And all God's people said, amen. Let's say a word of prayer. Gracious and wonderful God, may we not just say that we love you. May we truly love you. May we not just say the words and go through the motions. May we not just love you when we're getting what we want. May we not just love you when you're doing what you want us to. But may we also love you when the lights are red. May we still love you when we're without shelter or food. May we still love you even when we're the target. May we love you even when we are the victim of injustice and oppression. Even when we have illness and infirmities and pain and scars and a very real hurt and sense of loss in our lives. May we serve you because we love you. And may we love you so much that we obey your commandments, that we might serve you by serving others. For we ask these things in Christ Jesus, our Savior, in our Lord's name. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask you guys to take just a second. I'm going to ask you to do something that a little bit dangerous, but I'm going to ask you to do it. I don't want you to dwell on this, but for a moment, think about the things you prayed for and God has said no to, or at least not yet to. What are those senses of loss? What are those things? I want you to be honest with yourselves that maybe God hasn't. Is there bitterness there? Is there resentment there? Let me be honest too. God is big enough. He can take every bit of it. You're not going to break God. But I really want you to ask yourself, is this really God? Like, is God there to serve us? Or are we called to serve him? And if you're mad at a God that's not giving you what you want, might I suggest that you might be worshiping a wrong God? That you might as well be an atheist or worshiping a pagan God. This God we serve is the God we serve, not one that serves us. I invite you to truly accept Jesus Christ in your life this morning. Christ Jesus, who died on the cross of Calvary, giving himself up completely for us, that we might follow him, that we too might be crucified with Christ, that we too might in saying, Lord, I repent of my sin, I give my life to you as Savior and Lord, that we might join him in giving ourselves for others, knowing that the world will never be the same because Christ is alive in this church and in our lives. This altar is open for the revival that's coming. This altar is open for us to pray and to stand tall with those that are being persecuted because they're standing tall in their faith. This altar is open. All are invited. Please stand as we continue this time of worship.